had the first Cabinet meeting of the year today, a Cabinet Business Committee meeting, and we'll be meeting on the next two Tuesdays with combined Cabinet and then Cabinet Business Committee meetings before going back to the normal Monday cycle of Cabinet meetings and regular committees in the first week when Parliament comes back. We do endeavour before Christmas to clear the decks of all outstanding papers, and the paper load takes a little while to build up. So around the first meeting is always the opportunity for the Cabinet Ministers to get together and look at the year ahead. What are the challenges? What are the opportunities? Look at the issues which came up over the summer period. In the past week, representatives of probably most of the gallery officers have rung me to get my take on how I see the year ahead, and I've shared my ideas on that with a lot of people, so I don't want to go into really great detail about that today, except to reiterate that we are planning a very busy year across policy development and legislation. And I'd single out two particular areas for attention. The first, obviously, the economy, and the second, the focus on policies which are beneficial to New Zealand families. For example, we have the next phase of Working for Families kicking in on the 1st of April, and it's quite a significant injection in support for families. And remember that over the two-year period from 1 April last to 1 April 2007, the Working for Families package results in a drop in child poverty in New Zealand by 30%, which we think is a very worthwhile goal and achievement to have. There are big investments going into the early childhood education area, and by next year we need to be ready for the 20 hours free early childhood education in the teacher-led centres for the 3 and 4 year olds. We have the 4 weeks holiday entitlement coming on stream next year. We also have the enhancements in paid parental leave, went to 14 weeks at the end of last year, and there's further enhancements, as you know, affecting the self-employed and people employed for 6 months and less than a year. That's all part of a work-life balance agenda. We've always said that the student loan policy, no-interest policy, which takes effect from 1st of April, is very positive for young families too, because it clears another source of extra debt that a lot of young families were facing. There's the action on the home ownership agenda. Obviously, this year, a lot of detailed work to be done on the implementation of KiwiSaver, which kicks off on the 1st of April 07. But also we have in our policy for this term developing shared equity initiatives. And I had the opportunity to discuss some of the ideas around that when I was in the UK a couple of weeks ago, as well as a number of initiatives in the well-child area, the preschool check, the hearing checks for newborns, more visits for Plunkett and like services. So quite a big family-friendly agenda there. On the economy, as I briefed to those of you who've rung, we have been working particularly with a front bench group of ministers, with chief executives and key departments on the steps that need to be taken for the next step up in New Zealand's economic transformation agenda. As you know, prior to Christmas, Michael Cullen and Peter Dunn issued a statement about the timeline they were following on getting out proposals on the review of the structure of business taxation. We also identified in the post-election period, when Michael Cullen and I had consultations with a number of people in the business sector, that regulatory systems are causing some irritation. We want to look at some of those issues. Obviously, a focus on lifting productivity. Looking at the digital strategy and the rollout and uptake of broadband. We're a very connected nation, but we're not particularly well connected on fast internet access, and that is pretty critical to any economic modernisation agenda. Continuing big focus on lifting our skills levels. And then there's the work that will go on with the different sectors of the economy. The first iteration from the Food and Beverage Task Force was out a couple of 2-3 months ago, and that's pretty important in terms of extracting more value in the years ahead from the food producing parts of the primary sector. We've also expressed a willingness to work strategically with industries like pipfruit, which have run into particular problems as global traders with commodities at the present time. Overall, we think it's very important to be maintaining stability and certainty and predictability through what is a dip in the business cycle. And you do get dips in the business cycle. Treasury's forecasts on the current dip are that it would bottom out in the March 07 year at 1.7% annual growth. Now, to put that in perspective, if you go back 7-8 years, 1.7% would have been grasped at with great gratitude, but we have become used to growing at somewhere upwards of 3.8% over the past 6 years. The last business cycle bottomed out around zero growth at 1%. Unemployment is not forecast to return to anything like what it was when we came into government 6 years ago. I am aware of the layoffs announced in the past few days, and the Department of Work and Income will be working very proactively to look for new places for those who have been displaced. Again, to put that in perspective, we're talking about 300 or so layoffs in the last few days against a background of 264,000 new jobs created in the economy in the last 6 years, and also of employers still reporting skill and other labour shortages, whether you're looking at anything from fruit picking to aged care to the need to recruit for the prison service, the police, nursing, whatever. There are still real labour market pressures, shortages in New Zealand. I'm looking at the year ahead as one of those years where you need to manage strategically through a dip in the business cycle, but I remain very optimistic overall about the longer term and indeed medium term prospects for the economy. Now, statements you have before you, I will be writing directly to the new Canadian Prime Minister. Canada elections results were announced yesterday, and obviously we've had a very close relationship with Canada, and I always interact with the Canadian PM every year at least once at APEC, and in every second year at the Commonwealth as well. We also have a slight change in the cabinet lineup, with Trevor formally becoming on the new cabinet list that is being issued the Minister for the Rugby World Cup, which is logical as he is both Minister for Sport and Rec and Minister of Economic Development, and there are significant spin-offs to plan for off the Rugby World Cup in 2011 as well. He's a passionate rugby supporter, and all in all it's a job he will enjoy. You'll also see with the new cabinet list formalisation of what was announced before Christmas, which is that Phil Goff has become the full Minister of Trade Negotiations, with Jim Sutton staying on for the time being as Associate Minister and Minister of State. I'm also issuing today, in the hope that it might get some publicity, the statement I do issue from time to time, every couple of years, about the honours list. From what I could see of the coverage of the New Year's honours list, it was generally well received. We can only do a good job with the honours list if we have a broad base of nominations, and the nominations from the public are absolutely critical. So from time to time it's been my practice to issue a statement inviting the public to submit nominations for the list of those they think are deserving of recognition in the community, and as I say, that helps us to draw up and recommend to the Queen for Honours a good balanced list from contributions from people across the community. Otherwise, coming up this week, we have the Reserve Bank official cash rate review statement coming out Thursday. Michael Cullen will be speaking to the NZUSA conference on tertiary education, on Thursday. Pete Hodgson will be releasing a report that was called for on some midwifery issues. We have Phil Goff away this week. He'll be at the mini-ministerial on trade in Davos, and he goes on to a major conference on Afghanistan in London as well. And we have Stats New Zealand on the workplace stoppages figures out for the September quarter come Friday. So,
just go to Phil Goff?
No, Jim hasn't gone on this occasion. I'm told that the mini-ministerial is the minister plus one, which is normally an official, so he hasn't gone on this occasion. But he is at the ready should the WTO round process go into a frenetic series of green room meetings which require someone to virtually camp in Geneva for a protracted period of time. So we found that at the WTO ministerial in Hong Kong, it was very, very useful to have two ministers there. Jim worked the night shift with the green room, and Phil did the day shift with the bilaterals, and that was very, very helpful to us.
Did you have a discussion today about the effect of the 6 centimetre petrol rise in the country?
No, we didn't discuss that today. I guess one reason being that there's been such incredible variability in petrol prices over the past, particularly 8-9 months or so. They've been up, they've been down, they've been up. So, and it probably is impacting on the fuel tax take, because the consumption tends to be down a bit when people feel the pressure of those rises.
What chance of a proposal is that outcome to you about the effect?
We're looking to the Minister for Climate Change, who also happens to be the Minister of Energy, coming back to the Cabinet, as I recall, around April, with a series of proposals on where to take the Kyoto policy process. And they'll be taking a wide-ranging look. I think the statement, the front page of the Don this morning, is probably a little ahead of itself in identifying things that, you know, might definitely get a tick off. All these things can be looked at, but we're at the stage of officials looking at a range of things, so they can come back to ministers in April.
Has there been any advance, or will there be, Mr. Goss meeting on Afghanistan, on who is going to be responsible for our troops, if you like?
We wouldn't be too far away from announcing the forward deployments for Afghanistan and the Gulf area. We normally do that about once a year. We look ahead. With respect to the provincial reconstruction team, I've been signalling for quite some time that the International Security Assistance Force, which is directly mandated by the UN and which is currently under the organisational auspices of NATO, is highly likely to be taking over the New Zealand PRT. Now, new PRTs that have been set up over the last couple of years have tended to come under that ISAF umbrella anyway. But we went in under the other umbrella, which was the Operation Enduring Freedom, and that umbrella gave us a lot of certainty about medical evacuation and emergency support. So ever since I went to Afghanistan in 2003, this issue has been around of when would the New Zealand PRT make the move, and I discussed that when I was in Kabul more than 2 years ago with the ISAF headquarters.
It's
going to happen. It's just a question of when formally it happens.
Prime Minister, would the government take a look at some further measures to control the exchange rate?
I don't think there's anything further to say about that at all. There's been some publicity about the work the Reserve Bank and Treasury did to ensure that people knew the full implications of Iridashi issues, but I'm not aware of anything else in the mix.
Is there a report coming to the Finance Minister, is there not, in the next few weeks, whether there are
I think Michael Cullen signalled quite some time ago that he had officials working on that, but I couldn't have told you when that was coming to a head, but you may well be right.
Yeah,
The head, though, seems to indicate one to manage it in some way, so that we're coming as a soft manager. What kind of measures can we adopt to make sure the company doesn't have a soft manager?
As I said in my opening comments, very important to keep some certainty and stability around the way the government is operating and its fiscal policy, which is clearly set out. Certainly all ears as to what officials may report back to Dr. Cullen on the report back that Catherine's just alluded to. But I think the key thing is to get on with the kinds of issues that I was referring to earlier, structure of business tax review, the focus on productivity and skills, broadband uptake, all the things that strengthen the economy for the medium and longer term. And as I say, the fact that there has been quite a lot of change to increase the value of the New Zealand economy has made us more resilient in this business dip. The last dip in the business cycle bottomed out around zero. This one isn't having those forecasts around it right now.
On the business tax review, might it be that you can't afford to go
I really don't want to foreshadow what may or may not come out of it. You've got the statement from the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Revenue that goes back to December, where they said they were doing some very big picture and bold thinking, and I think we should wait and see what they come up with. No, that's. I heard the interview, and I certainly wouldn't have taken that inference from it at all. What the ministers have said is they want to put some proposals out for discussion. And Dr. Cullen said today it may be that people say too big, too bold, but the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. The ideas will come out, and we can have a good debate about it.
Prime Minister, how do you think the government's agenda might impact on Māori people?
Well, I think positively, if you think about the points I was making on the family-friendly agenda, working for families, which does reach 70% of Kiwi families, would almost certainly be reaching a larger proportion of Māori families. So that's critical support at a time when people have got dependent children. Similarly, a number of the initiatives across education, health, housing, skills, I think are very, very relevant to the needs of Māori people for economic and social development right now. Well, in terms of specifics, Department of Work and Income is very proactive these days. When redundancies, layoffs are announced, it makes contact. It's in there endeavouring to help place people. And as I say, we still have employers saying they have skills shortages. You often find that where layoffs are announced, other employers are ringing up saying, how can I make contact with workers that I need? And as I say, we're trying to build up workforces in areas like the prison service and like the police. I'm aware of the shortages that are experienced in the aged care sector, to say nothing of the perennials in the seasonal area. So we'll be working as hard as we can to see that people who have had the misfortune of a layoff in one area can be moved into something else. Well, I saw the Department of Work and Income Regional Commissioner in Auckland quoted as saying she believed there was still quite a lot of strength in the job market there, and she was hopeful of getting onto it proactively and helping people relocate somewhere else in the job market in the area.
Do you think you're still going to be able to raise minimum
wage? As you know, the policy and the confidence and supply agreements were worded that it was the objective of economic conditions permitted to move the minimum wage close to that $12 an hour level by the 2008, end of 2008. So we took the first step on that, and we're just going to review it each year. We haven't set out a forward path.
Thank you.